Hello, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to episode 14. We are busy establishing the biblical teaching that God controls human decisions. This is in the broader study of how is God related to suffering in general. Right? And we're saying that God controls all things. God works all things after the counsel of his will. He controls the natural world, random events, human history, and human decisions. I want to take you now to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. In verse 1 we read, "Now again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel." Okay, so that verse clearly says God was angry with Israel. We're not clear exactly why, but we see that God is angry with the nation, and the rest of the verse says, "And it incited David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah." Okay, so let's back up a little bit. First of all, God is angry with the nation. And so what God does is, well, it says his anger, it incites David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. It seems like something's wrong here. He's going to do something that should not be done. Or, as I think more accurately, he's going to do something in a way it shouldn't be done. David goes to number Israel and Judah. And from Exodus chapter 30, verse 12, we see that when this is done, they were to take half a shekel as a ransom for every single individual that was counted. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 12, when you take a census of the sons of Israel to number them, then each one of you shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them. Listen to this. So that there will be no plague among you when you number them. So what happens in chapter 24, in 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, God, the anger of the Lord incites David to number the nation. And David doesn't make sure that this ransom is paid. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and then read verse 1 with me, because 1 Chronicles 21 gives us additional information and critical information we need to interpret what we read in 2 Samuel 24. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1 reads, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." Now, if you put these two texts together, what we find is God, in judging the nation, allowed Satan. He allowed Satan to, just like he did in Job's situation, he allowed Satan to incite David to do this thing. Now, obviously, David was absolutely responsible for everything he did. He wanted to number the people. He lapsed in his obedience, like we also see he did in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Very interesting. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, David brings up the ark, but he doesn't do it in the way that God says he should. And so one of the priests are struck dead by the Lord as judgment. And so David backs up. He says, "Okay, leave the ark right here. I'm not going to take this to my house. This is dangerous." And eventually he figures out, oh, it was because we didn't do it in the Lord's way. Now, obviously, this is what happens in chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now, what I want you to see is that God was in control, working in, by, through, and by means of David's decision to judge the nation. That was his objective. And, as I'll show you later on, Satan is involved. God even controls Satan. We could say Satan works under divine permission in this situation. But that's not our focus right now. Our focus right now is to show you that God controls human decisions. So we see that he was in control of David's decision. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Here we're turning to Ahab, a king in Israel in the northern 10 tribes. He's ruling from Samaria. And according to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 to 33, he's a very disobedient and rebellious king. in terms of his devotion to God. And so what happens in chapter 22 is that Ahab wants to make war with Aram. And so Ahab goes to Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, southern two tribes. And so he goes to Jehoshaphat and says to him, come and help me, my brother. We are both Jews, Israelites. Come and help me against Aram, make war with me. And so Jehoshaphat says, yes, well, I'll bring my army and we will go and make war. But before we go, I need you to first inquire of the Lord God before we go, so that we know that we are going with his blessing. And so Ahab, being the man who he is, he has a whole court full of prophets, but they are not prophets of God. They are false prophets. And so he brings these men in and they all prophesy. Obviously, they prophesy exactly what Ahab wants to hear, because they know, man, if you don't tell him what he wants to hear, he's going to get very angry and your life's in danger. And so these guys tell him, yes, yes, you may go up, go make war, and God will be with you. You will be mighty and you will conquer. And so Jehoshaphat knows these prophets are not prophets of God. And he says, look, that's great, but I want to hear from the Lord himself. Don't you have a prophet of the Lord here? And so Ahab says, yes, there's a guy called Micaiah, but I really don't like him, because every time he prophesies about me or prophesies, you know, something where I'm involved, he's prophesying stuff that I don't want to hear. I don't like this guy. He's always saying stuff that scares me. But nonetheless, Jehoshaphat says, bring him. Let's hear what he has to say. And so this prophet Micaiah comes and he prophesies. And he says essentially that Ahab, if you go up to war with Aram, you're going to die. And so Ahab gets upset and says, you know what, take this guy and lock him up and we'll see if his word comes to pass. But before he does that, in verse 19, Micaiah the prophet stands in front of both Ahab and Jehoshaphat and he says these words, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Now this is Micaiah the prophet speaking by the Holy Spirit saying, hear the word of the Lord. This is what God says. This is what God told me and now I'm telling it to you. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. Verse 20. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? In other words, who will entice Ahab so that he will be full of pride and say, I'm going to go to war anyway? And I will make war and I will win, but yet he will fall. And then the prophet in verse 20, the rest of verse 20 reads, and one said this while another said that. So everybody's giving God these plans. I'll go and do this. I'll go do that. Verse 21. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord, verse 22, said to him, how? How are you going to entice him? Give me your plan. And he said, I will go out and I will be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And then God said, you are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. So what the prophet is saying is that God ordained these false prophets so that they would entice Ahab to go up to make war against Aram, so that Ahab would fall in that battle. And so we see that God was working in, by, under, by means of, over these decisions that Ahab was making to ultimately bring his judgment down on his own head. Now you would say, yeah, that's unfair, isn't it? Well, hang on a minute. You have to understand that Ahab was an evil man. In 1 Kings chapter 16, 1 Kings chapter 16, we read this about Ahab, this man. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. That's verse 29. First Kings chapter 16, verse 29. I'm reading verse 30 now. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. You read the rest. It's because he led the northern tribes further and deeper into their idolatry. And so what happens here is judgment from God. God judges this man for his sin, and he does it by means of these false prophets whom he wanted around him, and they become a deceiving spirit to this man, this king, so that God would ultimately bring judgment down on his own head. So again, God works by means of this man's decisions. He controls them. He works in them to bring about his objectives. Turn with me again to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. I want you to see something from Isaiah chapter 10. This is the nation being spoken to by the prophet Isaiah, and obviously the Holy Spirit who is in him, and God who speaks to the nation and says to them that they are going into exile, and there's the Assyrian nation that God is going to use to judge them. Chapter 10, verse 5 reads the following, and I want you to listen carefully how God describes the Assyrians. Listen, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5, "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hands is my indignation. I send it against a godless nation, and I commission it against the people of my fury." So God is angry with Israel because of their idolatry, because of their unfaithfulness to the covenant, which they entered into with the Lord. And so because of that, God sends Assyria against them. Now, if you know anything about this nation, they were a violent and a vile nation. They were absolutely merciless. They dashed little babies against rocks to kill them as they came into Jerusalem. They slashed women, pregnant women open, ripped the babies from their wombs and killed them. This was a terrible nation. And God says, "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hands is my indignation. I send it against the godless nation." I'm sending Assyria against you, Israel, because you're a godless nation. "And I commission Assyria against the people of my fury, to capture booty and to seize plunder and to trample them down like mud in the streets. Yes, it does not so intend." Okay? Assyria doesn't think like that in their own minds, nor does it plan so in its heart, but rather it is its purpose to destroy and to cut off many nations. For it says, "Are not my princes all kings?" So here God is describing Assyria's own thinking in her own heart. "I'm this glorious king, and I'm this glorious nation. I'm doing these wonderful things, and I'm lord of the earth, you know, in controlling and overcoming other nations." But what they don't understand is they are the rod of God's anger. God is controlling this Assyrian nation, and he is using them as a rod and a staff in his hands in my indignation. So even this nation and all of the decisions they made was controlled by God. He calls them my rod, the rod of my anger. This is the rod I'm using to discipline my son Israel. So, dear listener, I want you to see that God, in fact, does control human decisions. There's nothing outside of his control. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, you must stay tuned for the next episode, because I want to wrap this up. There's three more texts I want to take you to. And then there's one more aspect of God's control I want to cover before we can answer the question of how God is related to suffering in general. Now, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.